Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Yeah.
ago. We've had no official explanation. Police estimate some 300 or 400 people. They just got out and walked. God, we've gotten confirmation. We cannot find anyone. I've never seen anything like this.
I wanna go to hell, cause I'm a piece of shit, it ain't hard to fucking tell. It don't make sense going to heaven with the goody goodies dressed in white. I like black Timbs and black hoodies. God'll probably have me on some real strict shit. No sleeping all day, no getting my dick licked. Hanging with the goody goodies, lounging in paradise. Fuck that shit, I wanna tote guns and shoot dice. All my life I've been considered as the worst. Lying to my mother, even stealing out a purse. Crime after crime, from drugs to extortion. I know my mother wish she got a fucking abortion. She don't even love me like she did when I was younger. Fucking on her chest just to stop my fucking hunger. I wonder if I died, would tears come to her eyes? Forgive me for my disrespect, forgive me for my lies. My baby mother's 8 months, her little sister's too. Who's to blame for both of them? I swear to God I wanna just slip my wrist and end this bullshit. Throw the magnum to my head, threaten to pull shit. And squeeze until the bed's completely red. I'm glad I'm dead, a worthless fucking Buddha head. The stress is building up, I can't believe suicide's on my fucking mind. I wanna leave, I swear to God I feel like death is fucking calling me. Nah, you wouldn't understand.
Nigga, talk to me, please, man.
See, it's kinda like the crack did the Pookie and New Jack. Except when I cross over, there ain't no coming back. Did I die on the train track like Rainbow and Beach Street? People at the funeral front and like they miss me. My baby mama kissed me, but she glad I'm gone. She knows me and her sister had something going on. I reached my peak, I can't speak. Call my nigga Cheek, tell him that my will is weak. I'm sick of niggas lying, I'm sick of bitches talking. Matter of fact,
sick of
talking.
Welcome to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. A community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you another unfiltered, candid conversation. I am so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thoughts, and lift someone up today, and hope that you are able to learn something from this show that will help you in the future. I want to give a quick disclaimer. If you're new to the Black Sister community, I welcome you. I want you to know that you can be safe and yourself. This is a space created for Black women to breathe. I practice this thoroughly and openly, and I suggest that you do the same. No need to have it all figured out here, because we're all here to help you recognize the light within you and want you to see yourself shine the way that we do. So, ladies, let's be free. Sisters, today, as you have seen already some of the flyers for the show, we are going to be talking about suicide prevention, which is a must in the Black community. Sisters, this is not an easy conversation to have, but we must discuss suicide and our mental health in the Black community. Today, we're going to take notice to the suicide, not only that, but the childhood trauma that's a byproduct of it. The load we are carrying usually gives us no room to breathe because a lot of us feel we don't have time or space to do it. As Black women, it has been hard to recognize our mental health as a priority rather than a casualty. We overprioritize other things and miss our anxiety, miss our depression, miss PTSD, bipolar, other personality disorders, rent, child care, abuse, neglect, lack of self-care, respect. Or for some who say that's just life, and these are the cards that I have been dealt. So let me play that hand until I can't play it anymore. Black women, we are seen as superhuman. And because of this, it can feel heavy to walk around, not feeling safe enough to express your concerns, feel understood, receive support, love, and be protected. Most women are not even wondering, why is it so hard to be vulnerable? Several reasons for this, but today we will focus on just this one, and that is trust. That is trust. It is not hard when your reality has been distorted, when trust has been broken so long ago. See, I understand a Black woman who don't trust, because trusting hasn't been easy for most of us. People think the trust is about them, but it also falls back on the person, too, who doesn't trust, because they are also battling with trusting themselves every moment. This is why, although it has been said that the Black women are least likely to commit suicide, I stand and say we still need to receive support because Black women are taking on everything. I no longer want to be called a strong Black woman because it means to everyone that I don't need no damn help. That is why I need help. For that reason alone, because everyone thinks and feels, believes and hopes, but never helps. Support us, show up, sits with us, listens empathetically to us, cares, or understands, because we are the healers of ourselves, our family, and the community. Suicide has been a problem in the Black community for quite some time, and I believe that the rate of suicide is underreported in our community because of what is being carried out in the past with our cultural connections to religion. However, today, people are more likely to present with non-religious beliefs. I believe this is because so many reasons that all goes back to the lack of knowledge, love, and care, what a child needs, but most importantly, what a caregiver needs to be supportive to their seed. Sisters, I told you this was going to be a deep subject today. I hope y'all ready. Get your pens and pads and paper or whatever you jotting down, sticky notes, notebooks, or if you like me, whatever envelope is nearby, go ahead and jot down your takeaways in your notes as we have this discussion. Ladies, I'm going to open up your lines. I want to hear some feedback from you guys and how you're feeling today and what you are feeling about what I've just shared with you. Are you guys feeling how I'm feeling? Is this your experience? Can you relate to what has been shared so far?
Not that one. They got the round ones, too. All down
hey,
there.
I hear somebody talking about the round ones, too, but I got the line open. So is the round one for me? No? Okay. No problem. So, ladies, I'm opening up your line, and I want to hear from you guys. How are you feeling about what I've just shared so far?
Well, I will share what I feel, what I went through. This is Ms. Divine, and I think this is a really good topic because me personally, I went through suicidal ideation for like 9 months, a whole 9 month period, and during that time, I was in the church, and this is no attack on the church or anything, but just bringing that religion to understand, like, when you're hurting and when you feel like there's nothing else for you to turn to or nowhere for you to go, and you go to people and they basically make you feel like, you know, you need to pray or that's the devil, you know, or that's a spirit. It's a spirit of depression. And it's like, no, it's real life things that I'm going through, you know, trauma that has happened in my life. And as a result, my psyche is like beyond burden. And instead of people having a conversation to try to figure out, hey, where is this coming from? Or, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about how you're feeling? Not only does the symptom of the trauma and the illnesses, like, or the disorders, none of those things are dealt with, and then my feelings are also not dealt with. So it's basically like I have basically opened up a Pandora's box and said, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I was diagnosed with. I need somebody to talk to. I need some help. I need some support. And it's like, no, put that back in there. That's too much for us. That's the devil. And then you basically get blamed for it. So, you know, being strong is very hard when you already feel like, you know, you're breaking down from just life in general. So that's my experience with suicide in general.
Hello, Miss Divine, I'm so happy that you shared that, and I'm so happy that you're here. Listeners, Miss Divine has always been a great supporter of Black Sister Talk, and I'm so happy she had the opportunity to come in today, because what we need to do is just what you said. We need to normalize these types of conversations, sister, because these things are our reality, and if we're going to have our faith to base as a place to feel safe and they are not able to handle it, I'm not going to say I'm turning my back on faith because I'm a big God-fearing woman. I'm not turning my back on faith, but I am going to say that the church leaders need more instruction and training on mental health because they're not equipped to understand how to address that. Now, we know we got a scripture for everything. We got a scripture that can also align with this DSM-5, and so we need to make sure that we understand what it looks like. I'm going to have a good friend, Kazada Dent, who is very passionate about that, and she's also a Black counselor. And so I speak on to that and say we have to normalize these types of discussions because this is a reality. This is happening. And nowhere should you be told that this is no place for that, because it's a place for everything in God's eyes. And so it is a place for your feelings, and it's also a normal feeling. It's absolutely – hello, ladies. Let me check in. Ms. Chuck, what did
so
you
true.
Say? Did you say normal? Yes, I did. Yes, and ladies, we need to talk about it amongst other women because you're in a space where you can be supported and say, hey, sister, that's normal. You ain't crazy. That's normal. That's normal to feel that way, especially you haven't even went into details about, you know, deeply what it is that you had experienced, but whatever it was enough for you to dissociate and feel those feelings. That's
that is very, very true.
Time.
Come
definitely.
On, Mr.
That's true because, you know, when it comes to going through trauma and things like that, we think that suicide or even just having an illness like schizophrenia or bipolar or depression, even if you have avoidant personality disorder, you know, that those types of things can cause you to have, if you have a personality disorder, can cause you to have suicidal ideation or, you know, things like that as well. So it's not just trauma. But the thing that I'm saying is people really need to understand that having suicidal thoughts and wanting to end your life is a normal response to dealing with trauma. Now, everybody may not have it, but when you go through something and there's nobody for you to turn to, even if you do have support, in some cases people do, but you still feel so much emotional turmoil and so much inner agony that you just don't know how to get away from yourself, that is the normal response to you being at your breaking point, which is when somebody needs to step in and help. But the sad part is we feel like, oh my God, that's taboo. That's it's stigma attached to that. Don't talk about that. Don't feel like that. Why are you telling somebody? That's like telling a woman that's in labor not to feel her contractions. It's supposed to happen because she's in labor. Mm-hmm. So it's out of order to make a person feel like if you feel like this is too much or, you know, things are too much for you because of what you've been through or because you have this illness or simply because life is just too much. But let's be honest, the last 2 years have been something else. So it's like, you know, that it's a normal response, but that is something that I feel like Ms. Chambers is allowing us to talk about, needs to be brought to the forefront of our communities, whether it's religion, whether it's even in a work setting, you know, a family setting, even with kids. You know what I mean? It's touching our kids now. That is something that needs to be talked about as well as understood that it is a normal response when you are beyond stressed out and when you have been through something that is very traumatic. You're not supposed to be extremely, extremely strong and not able to break. You're human. You have a psyche. So it's a normal thing. But what's not normal is acting like it's a problem and you're not supposed to talk about it and ignoring it. That's the problem.
Come on, man. I hear somebody in the background saying definitely, definitely.
Happy Saturday, everyone. This is Treva. I am excited. Hello. I've been waiting on this Saturday for this specific conversation. I'm excited to that we're having this conversation, and hopefully everybody feels comfortable, whichever side of the fence that they're on, to either have this conversation or just even hear the people who need to have this conversation. I am actually an author of a poetry book that pretty much talks about trauma, healing, coping, self-discovery and self-love. As a black woman, as a black woman who deals with mental health issues, PTSD, mood disorder, just triggered from past traumas that I hadn't healed from, I feel like now that, you know, now at the age of 30, I decided to go to therapy. And it's something that I wish I would have done when I was 20 or even earlier than that. Mental health issues are definitely frowned upon, which makes majority of us feel like it's uncomfortable. We can't talk about it. We have to hold it in, things like that. And I just feel like, you know, we need more people to become not necessarily fearless, but just to grab a hold of themselves, because that's all they have left. Whether they're dealing with their bipolar, schizophrenic, mania, manic, all of that, it's time that we come to the forefront. Not even just as women, but as black people, as a whole, as a culture, because we are all that we have. Ourselves, at the end of the day, we're sitting in our own minds, fighting our own demons, fighting our own personalities, our own excitement, our own anxiety. It's just us, and it's bad enough that when we're going through that, we feel alone. But to also know that in the real world, we are alone because it's frowned upon. We're looked at, you know, crazy when we go to therapy, whereas other races, they go to therapy like it's a nail appointment. It's normal for them. it's normal to them. They not frowned upon any of that. And so I'm just kind of here to just, you know, make it aware that if there's anybody in this group that feel like they're alone, even if they walk away from this conversation, this meeting today, still feeling like that, I'm definitely an advocate. You're not alone. My poetry do talk about everything, whether it's the good, the bad, from rape, family, incest, everything. You know, if you feel like you don't have anyone to talk to or turn to and you're looking for help, definitely reach out to somebody in this group, because a lot of us have resources. A lot of us have ways to just have a conversation with you and get some things started. But, you know, therapy is definitely needed. And if you're afraid of it, you know, when you're ready to start your healing journey, definitely reach out to somebody. Because if you don't, you're going to always be alone. But there's more support out here than we think it is.
Absolutely.
That's just my take on it.
Ms. Treva, I'm interested in your book.
Absolutely. And I totally believe, you know, mental health, it does exist. Regardless of how Christian you are or whatever religion you are, you know, I'm not against it. I'm definitely spiritual and religious, but the reality is I can pray all day, but if I choose not to go to therapy to help myself, I can't expect my Lord and Savior to help me. I got to do my part, meaning I got to come to the forefront. In my book, I talk about rape with my family from being a child. I talk about witnessing death, witnessing my mom take her last breath, finding myself, self-discovery, learning to love myself, losing all the people that I didn't need in my life, and becoming now at my happiest moment, and it's just me. But it took a whole lot of therapy to get there. I'm not perfect. I battle with the mood disorder. It's actually very rare, but I battle with mania, which is overexcitement or anxiety, because as I'm healing from my trauma, I'm learning what it feels like to even be a kid, as well as being an adult, as well as enjoy the basic things out of life. So sometimes I'm in my own head, like, calm down a little bit, like, you're too excited. But at this point, I'm okay with being overly excited, because I spent 30-something years being depressed, hiding from my family, afraid to tell people that my brother was my first rapist, pretending that we couldn't talk about it, so much family drama, just everything. So, you know, in that book, you get to learn and read about a lot of different things that black families go through. You get to actually become in tune with yourself. There are pages in there that allows you to come in tune with yourself, answer questions, and kind of gently start your healing, your journey to healing, because we only got one life, and I refuse to die depressed. I'm sorry, and I chose not to. I still go to therapy. I still see a psychiatrist. I'm also a former medical assistant at a psychiatric hospital, which also encouraged me to go ahead and put that book out there, regardless of if it tore me, you know, tore my family down or pulled me away from them. I had to do what I had to do. So that book is definitely encouraging for those who are ready to tell their story and find help.
Absolutely. First of all, Treva, I love that you just shared that, but I also want you to share with everyone the name of your book and where they can find it, because the story is very powerful. And it's one that is very raw and authentic. And what we want to do when we're having these discussions is be raw and authentic with what our reality is. You know, we don't have to put a mask on or sugarcoat it and say, oh, let me put this pretty bow on here so I can stay safe. No, it's the reality. It's nasty. It's dirty. It's unhealthy. And it doesn't make us feel good. But what we do know it all consistently in this room or in this space or wherever you are listening is that we got to keep going. But we don't have a time to heal between we got to keep going. And so to have these thoughts of wanting to give up and wanting to stop is very heavy, very real, and can feel so frightening when that comes across your mind. You have to check yourself. Did I just think about taking myself out? Did I just think about killing myself? Did I think about hurting me because I love me? But see, the thing of the matter is, it don't always have to do with the love. It oftentimes has to do with the emotion and not liking the way you feel in that moment and seeing and comparing yourself to others and seeing how they respond to situations. And you say, well, why can't I respond like that? or why am I not doing things the way that, oh, they just seem to bounce back so well. Well, let me tell you why. We can all experience the same trauma, and none of us can have the same reaction to it. Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. But it's real. It happens to us all. It's the same thing that happens to us in our households with our siblings when things happen very somatically in the house, and everybody has a different response. You guys have seen that. I want to quickly share an article, website, let me stop. Trevis, share your book and let everybody know where they can get that book from. I want y'all to get this before I go on with this discussion.
Thank you. So the name of my book is Walk Through Your Pain, Live in Your Truth. It's the Only Way Out. The ebook is currently on Amazon. The actual physical book is on my website at tgray, G-R-A-Y, poetry.com. Or you can, always find me on social media at Authoress Treva Gray. You can inbox me, message me, things like that. I am a huge advocate for mental health and healing, and it's not easy. So let me make sure I explain that it's not easy, but it can be a little easier if we're doing it with the right village, if we're trusting the right people, and we have people that we can be vulnerable with supporting us, and that's the biggest thing. I've been writing this book since I was 10 years old, but I chose last year after my mom passed away to go ahead and put it out there because I'm like, there's nothing more that can happen to me in my life other than good. And so before everybody, people think my life is so perfect and how did I do this and how did I do that, it took a lot to get here. And I still got a way to go. But again, the name of that book is Walk Through Your Pain, Live in Your Truth. It's the Only Way Out. And it's deep, it's raw. But it's meaningful, and it's a good book. It's a good book, and it's something that I think everyone needs to put their hands on, especially if they're just trying to start. If they feel that somebody, people don't understand. I don't think it's anything I don't understand or ain't been through. And that's the whole purpose behind my book, is to allow people to know that you're not the only one, and I'm here to support you. I'm here to fight for you. I'm here to fight with you. Try to get the best out of life that you can because we only get one. And if we keep living in our fears, we're actually just letting other people control our life, control our depression, control our anxiety. We're not taking control at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Treva. Absolutely. And the thing that I can say is consistent here is that we're looking at some childhood trauma that continue to manifest into adulthood, and we're still working through and processing the trauma. The one thing that we can all agree on here is that the trauma doesn't really go away because it's the experience, right? I believe me and Ms. Devine talked about this earlier, that it changes the DNA. It changes who you are and how you respond to everything. To everything. Ladies, you heard what I said. That is normal. I want to inject a quick paragraph from some research I was doing on this topic as I was thinking about us as women and how we're looking at our children, because we are the healers, we are the nurturers, and we're usually the ones that are tending to the children. And what I am finding is that Black youths are 2 times more likely to die by suicide compared to their white counterpart, says Ariel Sheffield. She's a researcher at the Center for Suicide Prevention and Research at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And one of the authors of the 2019 pediatric study. Now she says they're trying to figure out this. There's rarely a single thing that drives someone to attempt suicide, and similarly, there are many factors from bullying to stigma to childhood trauma and racism, but no one cause that can help explain the increase in suicides amongst our Black youth. We want to intervene, but they don't know what's the best intervention as of yet. It's going to take a village, to be honest, to uncover what could help reverse the trend, particularly when no 2 suicide deaths are alike. You guys can find this article in Time, and it was written by Kyra Aurelia Alexandrini. And this article was written May 11th of 2021. We can say that suicide has been a problem in our community for quite some time. And as I said it earlier, I believe the rate of suicide, well, I probably didn't share this yet. I believe the rate of suicide was underreported in our community because of the way it has been carried out. Trends and beliefs have changed drastically from where they were when we were growing up, which is expected. However, the changes have created a shift in our belief systems, which I was touching on earlier, our values and our resources. In the past, our cultural connections to religion were very strong and deep. Our ancestors used it to get through and keep pushing by their faith and obedience. Today, people, we still have a lot of believers in God, which I am one of. However, younger generations are more likely to present with non-religious beliefs and are slaves to drug culture. I believe this is because of the loss of connection to the faith and the word of God as a representation of their experiences in life, which connects back to trust and a relationship of a parent to their child. Parents are the child's first God, and when your God doesn't show up and meet your basic needs, feed you, love you, protect you, why in the hell else can you expect a stranger to do a better job? Even logically knowing that all people are not the same. How are we teaching our babies they can trust us at that point? Ladies, what you think about that? Any thoughts? Anybody want to chime in?
I'd like to first say peaceful greetings to the host and everyone that's in attendance. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Rachel Campbell. I'd like to say that that is one of the greatest issues that the black community is faced with right now, the lack of culture. And identity is the first form of communication that a human being has, you know, as we try to adapt through life and, you know, and deal with what's going on here. I think here in America, because of the 500 years of mental enslavement and the intentional deprivation of knowledge, traditional knowledge as it relates to our ancestors, and I'm talking not just the ancestors that belong to ancient Albucalan or what most people know as Africa, but I'd also like to just talk about what we've contributed here in the United States. So culture, when you're lacking culture, you are unable to identify with anything that is good within you, you know, because most of the time you only are exposed to the good of everyone else outside of you. I'd like to really commend you on that. That is really one of the things that we need to bring back for our children. Every other ethnicity and the young children have their culture, and you can also verify this even by the name. You know, you can tell a young Hispanic, and I hate to use that word per se, but you can tell a young Mexican, you know, by his name, or, you know, possibly a Puerto Rican by their name, or a Chinese by their name. But when it comes to young black people, you don't know who we are because we're tied into things that were just given to us and that was thrown upon our parents and our parents' parents and our parents' parents. So the racial discrimination, to me, I would believe would be not just a racial discrimination, but the racial discrimination connected to the lack of culture here in the United States would be a very great thing, and I think an underlining cause for depression with the children. And I believe that the children, and as a village, not only just the children, but I think it needs to start with the mothers, the parents, the grandparents, with actually going back into what we are supposed to be as melanated people, because that was taken from us. I can say that race, genetic ancestry, and response to different antidepressant treatments for major depression, I do believe another call, and there has been clinical trials that validate and also confirm that. So the recent studies have highlighted that there's a racial disparity in antidepressant treatment outcomes, with poor results for African Americans compared with white. That's Lesser ETAL 2007. Most studies have found that environmental factors such as lower socioeconomic status, the SESs, the greater medical or psychiatric comorbidity, and the higher dropout contributes to the poor outcomes amongst us. And so, you know, as a community, there's so much that we need to do to begin healing. But I'd like to say that one of the first things is, I'd like to say the Sankofa bird. You know, the Sankofa bird is that we
come
must go back, looking back to where we come from and looking back to what it is that they've stolen from us, because, you know, we were given some other things in place of it, you know, but not knowing that most of the teachings, whether it relates to religion, you know, spirituality, all of that comes from our ancestors. So we have what is considered traditional knowledge to help us. And for some odd reason, this depression has been an issue. Anxiety has not just been an issue here in the United States or in America or over in Africa, but this is an issue that's been in existence since like 5,000 years before Christ. So there's a book that's called An Ebers Papyrus. And in this book, there outlines conditions of anxiety, depression, and things that our ancestors did, you know, to help one another as they were dealing with this back in that time. So for me, the culture would definitely be the underlining issue. And then also addressing this racism. You know, the racial discrimination that not only our children are experiencing, but what the mothers are experiencing. I think the overworking and the, you know, the mothers can't, even if they have an education, you know, the black woman still does not sit on the same equal footing as a white woman, even though they're still fighting for their rights. But they are, you know, a little bit, I believe, more advantageous to us. So. You know, the black woman happened to deal with the stress of going out here, being inside of this world, you know, raising the children, having to work two and three jobs, you know, just to maintain. These are some serious stressors, too. Well, what are the underlying? There's a lot of underlining causes, you know, and the lack of education is not always the case, you know. So let's deal with when there is a very well-educated woman, you know, working in corporate America, you know, the things that she have to face, you know, the racism that she's dealing with, the sexism that she's dealing with, you know, everybody's looking at her. So the black woman is just an object of everything, you know. We're an object of sexism, and it's not just something that has happened now. White society have been walking around and just using black women for the shape of their body, elephantine. You know, and teen, and they've been, so we've been the cause of a lot of things, you know, but we need to heal because we are the mother of every ethnicity that comes forth. The black woman is the only woman that can bring forth anything that looks black and anything that looks white. So what they've done is they've taken us from our nature, our natural divinity. They've disconnected us from nature, and we've got to get reconnected to nature, the nature, the universal nature on the outside, and the universal nature that's within us, so that we can re-elevate ourselves and raise our vibrational frequency uplifting our melanin and protecting our melanin, because that melanin is the best and the only thing within us right now
that is going to get us out of this mental health. They say that there's no answer. They don't know how. I'll tell you how. For one, it's not the antidepressant medication. The antidepressant medication is causing all types of suicidal ideation. You're talking to one who is also a suicide survivor. I myself had that strong black woman syndrome that almost caused me to take my life 4 years ago. I give praise to the Most High. I give praise to nature. I give praise to the sister, my cousin, you know, who's like a sister to me. You know, this black woman syndrome is something, y'all. I've been suffering. And we all been suffering through this, you know. And we've got to come back. We've got to come back to nature. We've got to come back to God. We've got to come back to taking walks outside being barefooted. We've got to ground ourselves to retune and re-identify with nature. But not just for ourselves, but we need to do this with our children as a village, because we are all suffering. But we got to turn to the Sankofa bird, and we have got to understand that there are things out here that is called traditional knowledge, traditional medicine. The Chinese have taken our stuff, and what they did was they made this, and they patented this under their own demise as if they are the authors of this. And it's time for us to come back and reclaim, because there's history. There's scientific evidence, archaeological evidence that says that our people, because we are the first ones here, and no one can deny that because of our high content of melanin. So we existed through the Bronze Age. We existed through the Copper Age. We existed long before a whole bunch of other things. And so this is the truth that we need to do it, and we need to look at that Sankofa bird, and we need to go back. We need to go back to what they stole from us. And for those of us who don't have that knowledge, you know, you're connected, young sisters, with people who are ready to bring this back so that we can understand that it's the things that we eat. We're separate. We're different from them. If anybody try to tell you that you're not different, all you have to do is understand. Everybody else got 16 layers of skin. But the melanated woman, in order for you to understand how to heal you, how to take care of you, and how to take care of these babies that you're bringing in this world that you are responsible for, first thing you need to understand is that we are biologically different. All this stuff that is working for everybody else is not a thing for us.
Wait a minute, Ms. Divine. You over there shaking?
You already know I'm trying my hardest.
I am trying. Yes.
Oh my goodness. She is like really igniting a whole fire in my soul. She is igniting a whole fire in my soul. I'm about to tell you why.
Do you understand?
Because listen to this though.
Come on, Supra.
This is hilarious because they have literally taken the God that we know is in us. And our connection to nature, our connection to the divine source. Religion is one thing, but spirituality is another thing.
It's
a whole other thing. And so the mystery systems that they try to put in these secret societies and all that stuff and the masons and all the sororities, that's all our stuff. And they make you feel like these are processes outside of yourself that have absolutely nothing to do with the inside, and they can change you with this knowledge. This knowledge is already in you. And so then they take these things and they say, this is demonic. You got to go to church now. This is demonic. And no offense, I'm not knocking church or nothing, but I'm just telling the truth, though, because the truth is, it's not what's outside of you. Yeah, I believe in nature, all that. It's not what's outside of you that's going to save you. It's what's on the inside of you that you're connected to that is your inner self. And everything that she was saying, even though I may be saying it a little bit different, I understand what she's saying, because it's like, when you don't have a connection to who you are, and as black people living in America, we don't have our own culture. We don't even really know who we are. Like you said about the Hispanic name, we don't even know who we are. We don't even have an identity as a collective group of people. And the identity they gave us is ghetto, big mama, watermelon, fried chicken, all these different things. But aside from all that physical stuff, who are we on the inside? Nobody knows any of that because nobody is taking the time to go within. Now, when it comes to depression and all that type of stuff, there's something called astrology, which everybody claims is the devil, But at the same time, astrology has a direct connection with your psyche.
Yes.
Astro simply means star. All of us are, we're energy. We're star beings. We're from the cosmos. So my thing is, when it comes to us dealing with astrology and knowing your natal chart and knowing how to decipher your natal chart, knowing how to decipher the mystery of your own psyche, that is something that will allow us to understand that at certain ages, we go through psychological processes. I just turned 33 in January. And the thing is, there are certain processes that you go through when you turn a certain age. There's something also called the dark night of the soul. We all go through processes of dealing with depression, but then living in the West, they give us medication. They tell us that we have to go and be diagnosed with all these different things. But in reality, your psychological makeup can actually, if you look at it in the stars, in your natal chart, you can understand how you already have these things written in you, and you can learn how to deal with them. You can learn that these things, it's almost like being predestined and basically learning these things about yourself so that you can advance in life. But these are all things that they take away from us and tell us, oh, that's the devil. You're not supposed to read horoscopes. I'm not reading a horoscope. I'm reading my natal chart, which is the alignment of the stars, where how it was when I was born. There is so much truth to everything that she said. And the number one thing I think is hilarious is when she talks about the medication. I told my own therapist, I don't care if she was a licensed LPN, which she is or was. I don't care how much schooling she had. Once I saw that antidepressants and any psychotropic medication can calcify our pineal glands, I was done. I was done. Because at the end of the day, these things literally have a label that says if you take them and you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, then you have to go talk to the doctor. Well, hold the hell on now. Because if I'm already having suicidal thoughts, why the hell would you give me a medication that's going to possibly increase those suicidal thoughts, Paxil, Zoloft, Lexapro, all of these different things? None of these things are meant for our bodies, because taking over a long period of time can also cause our organs to shut down. But how about we go? How about we go get somewhere in nature? How about we go get somewhere? Be quiet then. How about we go get some? I'm sorry, I'm talking to my daughter. How about we go get somewhere and put our feet in the ground, in the grass, in the dirt, and look up at the sun? How about we go do something like that? How about we go do something like, I mean, just everything when it comes to the Western society, to be honest, when it comes to religion, the school system, when it comes to the music that they say we should listen to, all of those things are breeding grounds for mental illness. That's why it's good to connect with the inside of who you are, because without that connection on the inside to the source, because I'm not saying there's no God. What I'm saying is the word God, it just simply
That's
means
right.
deity. I can be a deity to my children, but that does not mean that there is something outside of me that's supposed to take all this responsibility for me, and I'm not supposed to do nothing but just sit and say, God, I hope it's a good day today. No, you make it a good day today because of the power that is within you. That's why I call myself Miss Divine. My divinity is within. It is not outside of me. It's on the inside of me. I try to tell people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I completely, completely, completely agree with that. And I'm going to let you continue, but the one thing I want to just mention as we're having this discussion is that we have to stop looking at things as a silo, or singling things out, singling our mental health out, singling our physical health out, singling our wellness out, singling our spirituality out, singling our faith out. No, because these things are integrated ideas. These things all work together. And the goal here is to seek balance with understanding your celestial body and understanding God created all of these things for us to even have the opportunity to integrate in the first place. So God is always a part of the discussion. And when we're talking about astrology, we're not singling out God in any way. You know, we want to be clear on that, because we don't want to lose nobody in this discussion so that you don't understand how these ideas all fit together to create you as a living being, and also helping you to understand that, hey, these are the coping skills that need to be talked about, sisters. These are the coping skills that you need to be teaching your kids from upbringing, so that this is second nature and not new information, which is also very shocking and very hard to take in, very traumatizing, because everything you have been told about coping has come from people who haven't known how to cope and those who have been coping unhealthily. So we really want to take notice to that, Ms. Divine. And I appreciate the sisters on the line for being so transparent about it, because this life we're living ain't one that you want to jump up every day and smile and put on your football shoes and your shoe feet, you know, both feet in your shoes and put your best foot forward. Because a lot of this is hard. A lot of this is depressing. A lot of this is, I don't want to do this shit today because I'm not even going to make no money for what I'm going to do today, but I still got to put food on my table, and I still got to keep working this little bit of thing until I can build that little bit of thing. You know, this is a lot. This is a lot on us. And I just value you ladies for being so honest and transparent about it, because this is what it is. Now, anybody on the line that has some questions about what the ladies have shared so far, I want you to jump in and chime in, because this is a lot of information. And you know, ladies, when we get together on these type of topics, we get fired the hell up. We get fired up because it's like, why ain't nobody teaching me this? Why didn't nobody tell me about my natal chart? What is a natal chart? How do I learn more about a natal chart? Okay, Miss Rachel, what are you talking about, the nutrition? Wait a minute. This is a lot. So, ladies, does anybody on the line have any questions they want to ask Ms. Rachel or Ms. Divine before we go into the top of the hour? Any feedback, too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, how can we connect with you guys outside of the podcast?
Okay, let them know. Let them know, ladies, about your platform.
Oh, okay. Well, Ms. Divine, well, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go, Ms. Divine.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. I get real passionate. I am on Instagram under My Divinity Is Within, the number 8909. Again, on Instagram, My Divinity Is Within, 8909. And then I'm on Facebook as Monique. MONIQUE space BIH. B as in Bob, I, and then H.
And then myself.
Perfect. I just followed you.
Miss Rachel.
And then,
thank you for that. Miss Rachel.
Oh, my apologies, love.
No need to apologize. You're fine, sis.
Oh, okay. For myself, I want to be honest. I'm a bit old fashioned and old school, so. The sister LaWanda and a lot of other sisters are, and y'all, in fact, are my motivation to help me come out of some things that I've been dealing with. So I'm in my own healing process as it relates to me being probably about, you know, 20 years behind technology since I've discovered that my 7-year-old knows much about me. So I can tell you this. I'm going to give you my information. I am on like Instagram and Facebook, but I have not been doing, but we're growing together. So what I am working on and have been doing as of yesterday, where I'm getting ready to start bringing things out and putting stuff on social media. I just had to build up my confidence and my courage to do so in the year 2022 was my healing moment, and I'm stepping out and stepping into it so that I can not just uphold this information within me so that I can share it. So I can tell you this. I'm on Instagram. I believe my Instagram name is Plancestral. That's PlanCestral.healing. I don't even know how to look on the phone and see if that's it at the same time. But
no.
I'm on Facebook. That's not it.
We're going to post it on our page, too. So when you get done, send me the link, and we're going to share it on the page for you and Ms. Divine. Okay?
Okay, so good. I ain't got to say no more.
No, you can keep talking. I just want to give you some reassurance that even if it's not right, we're going to make sure it get right. We're going to put it on the social media platform. So they can get that. Because this is important, Ms. Rachel and Ms. Divine. This is important. We have to sit down and have more of these conversations and bring truth to the light with our community and help people to be enlightened. This information, if you ain't never heard it before and somebody said it in the same sentence with God, you're going to be confused, conflicted, upset. You're going to have a lot of emotions. So I want you to know that we're taking this conversation very gentle and very, very very much good care. So I want you guys to get this information. Miss Rachel, is there another way? You got a Facebook page you want to share with them?
I do have a Facebook page. The Facebook page is, I'm called, I don't even know which way it is, but I'm going to tell you, it's Shafira. I'm trying to figure this out, y'all. Y'all bear with me, but
yeah,
I'm getting ready
to Instagram, you guys.
Oh, you did find it?
Yeah, it's _ healing. It's not dot, but I found it, and your name came up under it.
Oh, Let me write my Instagram. Was that Mr. Lyon?
Go ahead, type in, listening.
what's the first part of the name?
So her name on Instagram is Plancestral. It's Plancestral, and then it's _ healing.
Oh, thank you so much, girl. That
and then her
insane.
Name is on there, so if you could take her name and put it on Facebook, you probably will find it.
Oh, that's so amazing. Thank you for that, Treva.
Thank you. So thank you so much for helping me. We're going to leave it at Instagram because I'm going to
be leave it. You know what? It's okay. We finna come out this show together because my thing for 2022 is to start. You know, I'm a little younger, so I got to start doing these videos and keeping up and continuing to pull my audience. So we're going to break our shells together, okay?
Oh, God's blessing. That's what I'm talking about, the sisterly love.
Yes. I'm with you on that. I'm with y'all on that.
But we can't do it by ourselves, y'all, and that has been my fear. And I kid you not, that was part of my deep depression. Was 4 years ago because I just wanted to do business. You know, I had a wellness spa here on King Drive and, you know, stuff just didn't go. And, you know, I didn't know how to do marketing and technology. So it just got me where I just didn't feel like I was, like you said, Sister LaWanda, you know, that strong thing and just not feeling like I was being successful at anything. But I thank God and I you know, the God, the universal God, the God of the whole planet, the God within me, I'm just thankful that I was able to make it up out of it, to realize that, you know, that was not the end of the world right there, but I was feeling so bad and just down in myself so much, like, why can't you this, why can't you that, you know, and that strong black woman syndrome almost took me down. I had never in my life experienced this, and I have a child who has tried to commit suicide. I have a mother who was suicidal. I have a brother and sister who are, you know, they've all been active. So for me, I had to be strong for everybody. And, you know, like you said, the strong woman, I had nobody else to turn to. My mother was gone. My grandmama was gone. I had nobody else to help me. You know, I did, because when I went to my cousin, she was like, look, do I need to call somebody because you ain't getting ready? But anyway, you know, I went knocking, just reaching out for help. So I thank y'all very much, and I know that this is going to be a growing time in the village, and we're going to create the village that we really need, because this is not easy at all. I swear for a living.
I'm happy that you're here.
No, it's not.
Very happy that you're still here.
I'm happy that you're here. We have to
really
be able to take that and hear that from somebody else and receive it. That is so big. That is so good.
I love your fire, Miss Rachel.
Thank you, Miss Rachel.
I need you on the show today because we're going to be discussing this very important subject. Now, let me give y'all a little what they call an Easter egg. See, Miss Rachel was just testing the waters here today because Miss Rachel is going to be leading our discussion next week on wrongful conviction. She's very passionate. She's very, very, very much in the community doing the work, just like the rest of us in our own way. And so we have to have a support system for the work that has to be done and the work that is currently being done. So I just admire and value each and every one of you ladies on the line because I know you guys personally, and also to our listeners that are listening, you're coming to this platform because it's something about Black Sister Talk that you are relating to, that you are connected with, and that you want to learn more about. And so with that being said, I want you guys to take down the email address and go ahead and engage with our Instagram and our Facebook accounts as well, because we're going to be having sister healing groups where we're going to be discussing more in depth some of these discussions that we're having on the show. The show is meant for the lighter conversations, and the group is meant for the deeper work that needs to happen. And again, the purpose of the show is not to expose people, but to give them a space to help other people who may be experiencing challenges similar to theirs with normalizing mental health. If we do not address mental health right now, guess what? We are on the road to have mental illness. Everybody in this world experiences mental health at some form. So that ain't, mental health don't mean you're crazy. It means that stuff is happening and you're trying to figure out how to deal with it. Now, when you don't know how to deal with it healthy, now you're going to go into other challenges with mental illness. So we got to be clear on how these things manifest. And all of these things that we have discussed on today are very much bits and pieces of the broken picture that we're all trying to put back together called Black America. We talked about identity so far today. Our identity is not even of existence, and who are we? And we're constantly trying to figure that out amongst being a Black woman, and what does that mean? Well, we're constantly being told, like we said earlier, superhuman. We said Super/superwoman. Do you understand what that means? All the odds we have counting against us, we're constantly, constantly picking up the load and carrying it further, picking up the load and carrying it further. When we in pain, when we're sick, when we don't feel like it, when we're confused, when we don't know how we're going to do it, when we just get ready to give up and just what we're going to do, we still somehow try to push on. When we never stop, when we never ask for help, when we never get a drink of water, when we never take a breath. Sister, as women, we have to become more selfish about our mental health and check in with ourselves. Often, if we are not operating from a place where we feel good to operate, we should be okay to say that. However, this reality doesn't seem like a reality because of the finances, the support, the belief that is we're not deserving to us or anyone else. And this is all women in some shape, form, or fashion because we all experience self-doubt. Sisters, ask yourself, what are you running away from or what are you running toward and why? What is that, sisters? Let's talk about it.
I know for me,
look,
I run from my drama.
Look, y'all just breathing. Listen, on this show, we're going to have some odd silences because let me tell you, when Miss Travis opened her mouth, that stuff be hitting home. It be like, I know it's going to go there today, but let me breathe. What y'all thinking, sisters?
I'm thinking that this is just amazing. Today's conversation is amazing because it covers so many things, not just mental health and things like that, but it has caused so many of us to network in just an hour. Just an hour. Somebody that was feared of, you know, everything, you know, is about to expand herself as well as myself, as well as whoever else is on this call. So I'm sure it has opened doors of many things other than just talk about what's in our minds and what needs to come out of our mouths. So I definitely appreciate the group, the culture, and just everybody that's on the line. I appreciate it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose here, Cleveland.
I agree.
Acknowledging that. That's our purpose here. We not only going to talk about our mental health, but we're going to be a support to one another, and we're going to continue to build in this community, not only supporting our mental health, but also reaching our financial goals, reaching our business goals, reaching our educational goals.
Okay.
But if we're not dealing with self and dealing with our mental health, those things are going to be very much more challenging to accomplish. So the first foundation is to develop a foundation where we have like-minded individuals who want the same things. Look at how in just this hour alone, like you said, all of these voila moments, all of these women very much aligned and very much passionate about all of the same things. But, hey, I ain't talked about that with nobody because guess what? When we're growing up, very seldom do we have anyone who can feed that brain and give us that intellectual judo that is needed. So we have to be able to find a place
where we can exercise that part of our brain. When you a woman, yep. You constantly going and you trying to get everything done, you ain't even got time to talk to your girlfriend about the intellectual because you dealing with the troubles of the day. You dealing with, I'm pissed off, somebody cut me off. You ain't dealing with what you need to be dealing with because if you did just for 1 minute, you are afraid you're going to wait. You are afraid.
Or even as kids, our parents don't believe in us as much as we believe in ourselves. Like, we're not allowed to dream as kids. We're always told, oh, I definitely want you to be better than me or the life I've provided you. But when you're a kid and you start to discover who you are and put your dreams out there, you got some of those parents that's like, uh-uh, we're going to shut that down right now. And then, as a child, we're told we can't speak up. We talk too much. We can't dream. We can't do anything. And then we get 20, 30, and 40 trying to figure out how to build a website. Prime example, I'm transparent as possible. I'm 33 just figuring out in 2 months how to build a website because my dreams were too big for my parents.
Come on now.
We got too many parents that really envy their children. We got too many parents that... if they don't have the right tools and equipment, they don't pass anything along.
You are right. Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
They can only give us what they have. It's negativity, toxicity, generational curses, and broken relationships, and terrible marriages is all they know. That's all they can feed us. If it's anything opposite than what they know, they're not ready for it. And I was one of those kids, be quiet, you talk too much, you this, you that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just not writing a book after 20-something years. And I'm working on my second one. And
that's
I just published 4 months ago.
You know, that's interesting that you say that because I say that all mine ever told me, well, I don't want to say all mine ever told me, rather, because just like what you said, you know, they can only deal with what they deal with. But I was just always taught how to be a good mother and a good wife. Now, I got divorced when I was 30 years old, and I went through like a nervous breakdown and didn't even know what was happening. And in fact, I didn't even know that I liked writing until I left my ex-husband. Because all I was able to do inside of this marriage was to be a good mama and to take care of my husband. I was never taught to take care of me.
That's what conditioning do to you, especially when you're not provided the right hand of cards. You're not dealt the right hand of cards. That's what conditioning do to you. And I am 33 trying to unlearn so many things. Like, I just get excited just to be happy. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, trust me. But it's so sad how the littlest things are so important to me, and I know that I should be a lot higher and elevated than I am, but I'm going to get there. I'm
yes,
definitely going to get there.
So you're going to get there.
Yes.
And
yes.
This Instagram page, we're going to turn that from private to public. We're going to turn this business right back around. Because if I can do it, you can do it.
That's right.
That girl, wait, am I on private?
And I'm not saying that because I'm young. I'm just saying, like, I had to learn so much in 2 months. I'm like, a domain, a website, keep up with this, manage 4 pages, work in psychiatry. I'm like, I can't. My brain goes shut down. Now I'm like, well, you got one more thing to do. You got to start speaking in front of people. And I'm not shy at all, but as a kid, I was told to shut up. I was told I talked too much. So now I have to unlearn speaking in front of people as I start doing speaking events.
And that's right. And guess what? You get practice every Saturday here.
Sharing,
your
I sure do.
And responding back to people. And even and let me just be real with y'all. You know, even me, I created 501c3, Embrace Me Community Services, so that I can provide mental health services to people who are unable to afford mental health services, meaning your insurance doesn't allow get mental health, or your job doesn't pay you enough to afford mental health. And let's be honest, the way the system is set up, if you make $1 or even 25 cents too much, you're not qualified for things like child care or mental health. See, I understand that need, and so this show is an opportunity for a group setting
And then Embrace Me is that opportunity for further work that needs to be done for those who don't have insurance and for those that still need to be in a group setting and to have support. We have to create those spaces. If we're waiting on white people to create them, yeah, they exist, but are they really going to be beneficial to the needs that you have when we're battling racism, identity, intersectionality? Are those things really going to help us or hinder us? You know, that's why that article says we don't even, the person who is writing the article is white. We don't even know how to help them. We don't even know what to do for these children. That says what to us? Our kids are not going to receive the help. We're going to have generations and generations of children who are going to have needs that nobody understands how to meet. But the ones in the community like us, the sisters that are out here, let me might I add, black women are one of the highest percentages of counselors out here. And they say we don't have enough black counselors. But black women are the ones out here turning these households around and making sure these strategies are being implemented. So we're doing something right. We need to take that same energy, put it in ourselves, put it in our own families, and put it into our own communities. When that happens, it'll be a trickle-down effect on our finances and everything else. We have to change our mindset. We have to change our mindset. And I don't
you know
care where you are today. Today is the day
I want to interject something that this is...
Oh, Lulu!
I mean,
hey, Lulu!
What you guys,
happy belated
hey,
birthday,
I'm
y'all!
Lulu.
Lulu had a birthday! How you doing,
happy
sister?
Happy belated birthday.
I'm all right.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us, Lulu.
Okay. I've been listening, and a lot of it, you know, is, well, I'm 74 now. I lived through a lot, and my parents were from the South. And one thing, when I went to Robert Fulton, which has been closed for years, Malcolm X, and there was, I would never forget a teacher. I went to school here, 12th Street School, North Division. My father had to teach me how to read. And the one thing, when I first read in front of my class, they laughed. Because I went to Sunday school, I would read Sunday school stuff. I could do all that. But when I entered the public, my voice was not accepted. And this teacher, Mr. Wanneke, said, "You read like a black Southern preacher." And I lived on 26th in Tatonia. And I walked that 26th block in Center Street all the way down crying and came home. And my daddy said, "What's wrong with you?" And I just couldn't stop crying. And I told him what happened. The kids laughed at me because the teacher said I talked like a black Southern preacher. He said, "Well, who taught you how to read?" I said, "You did." He said, "Are you ashamed of me?" I said, "No, Daddy. I didn't. It was such a tragedy." Well, he said, "I want you to remember one thing. You are a child of God. You are somebody. You have a right to anything. When the devil starts to knock you down, you knock them down and just walk on their words and keep going. Don't ever let no man tell you you ain't nothing. Are you funny? Are you sound like this? Don't laugh at that." So I have never been afraid of anything, but I've seen it where a lot of the stuff that comes from slave days, that people who don't have any type of moral foundation for their families, and I'm watching them get wrecked. Not really a generational curse. It's just to keep repeating traditional bad behaviors, and it's within our own culture. But I always try to uplift people, and that's when I got the training for doing the peace circles and accountability circles, and I worked at the prison at Southern Oaks and Ethan Allen working with the kids, and I did circles, 8 weeks, 10-week circles. But here's the outcome. By giving them permission to understand who they are and express themselves within it and correcting the wrong, the right way without throwing them down or under the bus, as they say, I see those girls in the community and them young men
and they're doing something with their lives. But we have to deal with women having the babies out of wedlock. Because you know what? Those girls that I taught back in the 90s, in a GED setting, were their mothers. Everything that you guys are saying, this is what was happening to those young girls. They're prostituting their own daughters. So there's a lot of different strategies out there, but when we run up on one, I'm just trying to say this. Have that good word. Encourage them. Plant a seed that only God can water for them to be more than what possibly their parents are. There's some good people out there that teach righteousness, but I want to remember, because sometimes when people hear the negative talk, they take it even more internalized. We all go through mental issues for mistakes, for ideas that we have, and that I'm 74 going through a divorce. The only thing is that what I regret is that a couple of my kids don't understand, because they love their daddy. They love him. I told them, you love him. But I don't want to cut them down, because what I've seen, when you have hatred and you hate a parent, it passed down through the generation of your kids. With me being this age, and I've seen it, and it has to be rebuilt. But, and this other piece I want to talk is that economical piece that the one that mentioned that $1 over. $42,000 is no money to make in a year with the economy the way it is. I couldn't get help with
something.
Going through this divorce, it's no money today. And we need people to get politically concerned to go change that margin of what is called poverty. Because that money that they're getting from us every day, when we go to the store, when we pay taxes, and those FICAs and this and that on that paycheck, it all goes back to them, but they never change that poverty level line. So we need people there to say, what? You should be able to make at least 75 and get some help, because the rent, I mean, a decent place, $9, $10, $11, $1,200 a month. Where are people getting money at like that? So I'm saying all of this, but you guys are on that right track. I'm loving it. But we need people to get politically and say, we got to change this. Because with me working in the community, I've seen people with no furnace in their home, and I'm trying to help them. When I was the outreach director, I've had many jobs working with people, and this lady was over $2, and they would not give her a furnace, and her both of her and her son had mental issues and physical conditions that they could not work, but because they both lived together. So that's one of your money, your economics. As I'm still teaching, I'm teaching Black and Hispanic children, and I'm trying history, and I'm trying to show them the difference in this capitalist society and what they need to do themselves and get off of these games and all this stuff that they're putting in front of them, because they're going to grow up worse than the generation that you're talking about, because they won't know nothing about life.
Oh, you know it.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, you know it.
Thank you.
I love you, Lulu, and I appreciate your transparency and honesty, because this show is from one generation to the next. We have to have auntie, grandma, cousin, little cousin, little baby cousin. We have to all be on par with it for this to really work. And I love you so much, Lulu, for just being honest, just being so very honest with us. Ladies, what do you guys feel about what Ms. Lulu shared?
I'm just, I am just, my jaw is just dropped. And, you know, to hear it come from someone that is my mother's age or a little bit older is amazing, because, you know, I used to hear the stories of what my grandparents went through or my mom, but I didn't get the depth of it or why. And you know, those neighborhoods that Ms. Lulu mentioned, you know, those were the good old spots. When it came to my parents and them, we definitely can't walk those streets. Now it's horrible. You know, those are the spots that our grandparents, you know, had home ownership. And those were the neighborhoods, the safe spots and everything. And it's like it changed so fast, you know. It's just hard to believe that those were the talks of Milwaukee, you know, to downtown and everything. And now our generation don't have much to say about it. Also to hear that she's 74 going through a divorce, I'm just like, wow. And not in a negative way. I'm just like, it's just, you know, when she says she's 74, I'm like, you know, divorce is not always great. But I'm like, that's at 74. You got people that can't even make it 74 days in a marriage before they're annulled.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm sure she put time and effort into that marriage, raising her kids. And like she said, you know, they love their dad. But it's just like nowadays, I'm just like, I don't even think people know how to fight till they're that age in marriage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, The healing is never done, ladies. We said that earlier. It's never done.
This is a product. It's never done, and it doesn't go away. And that's why we have to take control as much as we can as human beings to get it under control.
And that's what Lulu is doing, signing that name on a dotted line. I'm so, so very proud of you for choosing you, sis. For choosing you. That's right.
Yeah. It just comes with time. And a woman is going to have to give to her children. And this is part of what's really going wrong with the culture today. You got mothers and that's wrong with daycare, don't get me wrong, but they're putting their children in the arms of other people and they have no relationship. And being a teacher all these years and watching kids literally change, that a mother is supposed to get that child to an age where they're used to being out there in public and stuff. It's different kind of kids. I realize that. But they don't have that motherly love or respect for women. The boys are horrible. The girls think they're just too cute to do that. Well, see, they're messing with the wrong. Because, girl, I know so much. And I know how to put them in their place. And I'm not playing. And I told them they can hate me all day and night, but they don't have to go home with me, and I don't have to go home with them. But I love you, and I will discipline you to this point, because you're going to run into people out there that know what it's like to see a young girl at the age of 15 to 18 to 23 sitting in a prison in a little bitty room with a toilet and a sink. And this is the kind of behavior to get them there. If that's what you want, fine. But don't bring it in front of my face. And you just got to be willing to tell the truth and not be timid. And it's like they go yell back. It's so ugly today. But you always got to remember, you pass 25, you got the right to set those children straight. But you got to know what to say and not be afraid. And I see grown women in their 50s. Don't know what to say, and it's like coming from other cultures. This is a melting pot. So my thing is, this is good. Get the word. Just be thankful that you had something. Something was planted for you to be here today. That a parent, a teacher, somebody you know that got you on that radio show, that got you there. But remember, we all gonna go through periods of growth, and it seemed like depression. But it's actually trying to pull back and learn of self. Think of it like that. And it's like, it's not a real mental illness. They label a lot of things that. But you come out of it. If you ever really saw a mentally ill person, they never comes out.
Well, I completely agree with that, Lucille, everything that you said and everything that everyone has shared on the line. And what it brings me to the realization is that being a superhuman also exists in the same space of having high functioning depression. Because every woman always to say, I think I can, I got to keep going. If anybody asks you how you was doing, you probably say, I'm doing okay, I'm having a great day. And you probably really having a shitty day and five things happen. And when a person meet a Miss Chambers, and Miss Chambers be like, this happened, this happened, this happened, they be like, wow. I was just expecting you to say your day was fine and good. And so we come to this place of like Sam's life, like just being that character. When we really just need to be ourselves and be honest and say, if I'm able to tell somebody else I'm not having a good day, then I need to sit with self and deal with why I'm not having a good day. If I'm sitting here and I'm not happy, but my kids is running around and happy, I need to be able to say, I'm not okay in the situation I'm in. I don't give a damn about this or that. Because as a mother having to nurture and pour into this child, okay, pour into this child, I need to be whole. That is the healing. That is the thing right now that I'm hearing our women go through constantly and constantly and constantly again. And we're sitting with, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be alive if my husband don't love me. This is cognitive dissonance, again, facing us in the face with the truth.
But
we might have lost trust, but hold on, who that is?
No, I was just going to say, it's like, I don't want to be alive because my husband, see, that's the thing. We got this wrong idea about what love is.
That's
in the
right.
book, in Corinthians, love is not puffed up, it's not out. It's all up for joke. They need to read what the true love is, and then they won't put all of their eggs in a basket with a man that they know nothing about and who may not have the best intentions. See, and it's like, we got to take that. That's what's wrong today. It's like, talking about commitment, it's like, it's a hard thing. Because a lot of people use it in the wrong way. I'm going to commit suicide because it doesn't work out. No, you got to learn how to respect the fact that you made a bad choice. And you know, I remember one time a psychology professor said, you don't go and tell people you're having a bad day. Well, I would tell anybody. This Christian woman said, oh, yeah, I have to tell my husband, you know what, don't talk to me this morning. I'm not in a good way, but when I get straight out, I'll give you a kiss. I mean, that kind of stuff is real. It sounds simple, and it's like then you can get over it. And then you don't have to tell everybody because everybody is not your friend. And say, you know, she's going through this, and then it comes back to you, and you feel bad about it. And you feel bad because somebody else heard about it, and they done gave it the wrong way. So we do have to be careful and sometimes just get down on your knees and give it to God and get up and go about your business. That's the simple way. Some of the old mothers and great grandmothers, my great-great-grandmother, all of them, I've seen, met them all, and they were very phenomenal women. And that word strong don't mean you got to meet everybody's needs. It means that you ain't going to let everybody push you over.
That's right, Lulu.
That's it. And I've learned. I'm old and I can say 74. I can say what I want to say. But we must not be afraid. But it's how you bring it to people. And it's good on a talk show that we can say this, that we can offer. Look, you okay. If you had to go through a growth period. I mean, when I first touched a computer and it started, it was the orange screens when they had them. And I hit the wrong button, and HTML came up, and it kept going and going and going, and scared the daylights out of me. But you know what I did? Now I'm in my late 50s. But what I did, I went to a course and learned how to use it. I knew how to type. And helped my father run his business, but I never touched the computer. So my thing is that it will come in time when you need it, but we do have to want to educate ourselves. So I think you women have done phenomenal. Be here and get here, share your story. But remember, it's all inside of you. God made us all great. And when you want something, study it and come out with it. Young lady, them books you're writing right now, you can write them because it was inside you all the time. And that 33
that's
years,
right.
That's when Jesus went to the cross when he had completed his work. We are not grown actually until we're 40 years old if you deal with it from the Bible. We have that growth period in our life and we're ready to give. But society has made us old if we get past 25. But we can't go by the devil. We got to go by what the Lord says. I just want to interject that. Go on with your bad self. Y'all good.
Get you fired up. I just love you so much. I do. Yes, absolutely.
I love what Ms. Uber was saying I love what she was saying. And one thing that I have realized over the years is that people are uncomfortable with you being in an uncomfortable place because of this whole toxic positivity thing where it's like, you know, you're not supposed to be sad. And if you're sad, you know, shake that stuff off and think positive and all of that stuff. And it's like nobody's really trying to go around and be negative. But there needs to be a space provided for people to be able to share what they're going through or, like, you know, there are times when people ask me, how are you doing? And they actually keep walking. So they say it in passing. You know, like, just keep walking. How you doing? And I'm like, fine, but you all the way back there. You know what I mean? So it's like, how are you doing is not something that people really want to know. It's just something that people have gotten used to asking because it's a social thing. And so when you really, huh?
You're right.
Right. So it's like we need that space to be able to say, hey, I'm not feeling that good today. And maybe you don't need any advice. Maybe you sometimes just need to get your thoughts out of your head because they're running around and bouncing off every wall, and you need to sometimes just get it out. You know what I mean? Sometimes you may just need a hug. Sometimes you may simply just need eye contact with somebody, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with that because I'm a loner and I'm a person that loves to be by myself. I actually have anxiety being around people. But what I do find is that when I'm too much in my head and my mind starts to talk negative things to me, sometimes just being around somebody or just taking a walk outside and being able to have human interaction just by being in somebody's aura field, you know, our aura extends 6 feet out past our body. So just being able to be in somebody else's presence can do a very big thing for, you know, for us at times. But it's like we have gotten so used to not really being cared for or being heard because a lot of people feel uncomfortable with their own feelings, let alone somebody else's.
Absolutely. I can't say that enough. Absolutely. Because what ends up happening is that when other people are uncomfortable, it creates nervousness and anxiety in everybody in the room. We are energy carriers. So if I come in the room and I'm feeling and I'm just uncomfortable and I'm telling somebody else I'm uncomfortable, it's a ripple. It's a ripple. But we have to be able to recognize and understand that those are feelings, and those feelings are not always facts. Those feelings are not always facts. That's why a simple thing is looking at somebody or being in a room with them or hugging them or just having a conversation with a person and saying, I heard what you said when you told me your day wasn't going well. Is there anything you need? Can we go have a seat somewhere and talk? Redirecting people, because even if they have asked for help, even in the slightest way, that is asking for help without even asking for help. We have to be more willing to pay attention to people and not just try to check the box off of a social cue as simple as hello, how you doing, and somebody saying just fine, and you not being able to recognize what just fine looks like. because it's not always fine. It's not always a good day. We only have about 20 minutes left of the show, so I want to share a few things with our with everyone on the line and our listeners. What do the symptoms look like? Because suicide doesn't look like any one thing. So some of the symptoms can look like, and ladies, you guys can chime in as we create this list, because it doesn't look like any one thing. But it can look like isolating yourself from your loved ones, feeling hopeless or trapped, giving away things you really care about, giving away your most prized possessions, talking about death or suicide, increasing substance use or misuse, increased mood swings, anger, rage, irritability, engaging in risk-taking behaviors like using drugs or having unprotected sex, assessing the means to kill yourself, such as medication, drugs, or firearms, acting as if you're saying goodbye to people, and feeling extremely anxious. Those are all some of the signs or some of the symptoms that suicide ideation that can look like. We also have passive and active suicide ideation. We always talk about the active, and that's pretty much what this conversation has carried into, but we really haven't touched much on the passivity of suicide ideation. And that is also equally as daunting, having thoughts about wanting to die by natural causes, or I want to die in my sleep, or thinking of other ways for you to die without you actually having to do it. Like, I wish I could just walk out into the, you know, if I just walked off this curb and the car hit me, that would just be God's wet will and it had been done. You know, those kinds of things. I also want to share with you guys some of the myths, like asking people about suicide, not provoking them, or saying asking people about suicide doesn't provoke them to do it, right? Asking shows your concern and care. It's okay to ask somebody if they're feeling suicidal, because they may be thinking about it but don't know the words. But if asked, they would feel like, well, damn, somebody cares enough to ask me, let me say something. Talking doesn't help. That's another myth. Yes, it actually does, because if a person doesn't typically trust their thoughts, you being there helps them trusting you enough in your care in that moment, because a person is least likely to commit suicide if they are being occupied, right? Being alone isn't best for a person who is thinking about suicide. So somebody tell you, like, yeah, I'm thinking about suicide, and you're like, oh, I gotta go to work. We need to take time and care with people. And even if you can't stay long, let's create a plan where we reach out to someone or get them somewhere where they can be safe so they are occupied. And also, let's talk and ask, well, have you thought about a plan or how you would do it? And then let's address the safety concerns in the environment. Let's safe-proof the environment as much as possible, because it can be very challenging depending on the type of the different ways a person may tell you that they're thinking about committing suicide, i.e. like cords or wires or trying to hang themselves. You know, that becomes a two-part thing, where now you're trying to remove cords out of the environment as well as scissors so that things cannot be cut and altered for you. The other thing I want to share with you guys is some of the causes of suicide, which we kind of talked about briefly earlier, but I want to circle back to it, because if I told you that any one thing won't pinpoint the contributions to suicide thoughts or behaviors, these thoughts can come from when you're happy and when you're sad. But just like passive and active suicide ideation, not a lot of people talk about when people are happy and they want to still commit suicide. I know that may sound shocking or surprising, but that is very, very much a situation as well. People can be happy and still be very, very much thinking about suicide ideation. However, people who are most likely to commit suicide are those who present in a hopeless state. When a person goes manic and they're very happy, that's when you want to watch to see for those suicide behaviors, because they are more likely to commit them being high on life. This is a form of dissociation. This is a form of defense mechanism when dealing with suicide and trying to beat the stigma on mental health and be presentable and show faith. That's that I'm fine thing, and that some of us just become adapted to, because that's what you say, and you say that because nobody cares. So I want you to know that when people are happy, they can also very much be thinking about suicide ideation. And this can also be a result of people who are fearful of their own success. We kind of talked about that a little bit. I heard some of the ladies speaking on being basically afraid of their own success and knowing that they have the skills and talent and innate ability to do things, but because someone along the way has broken their spirit, which things we definitely need to address in a future show, the topic of spirit building and how we rebuild that spirit that has been broken, because we're still in there. Ladies, you're still in there. And that person still in there is ready to unleash and be set free. This show is about freedom. My value is freedom. We have to be free enough to be ourselves. Anybody has anything that they want to chime in with or share before I share the last few tips for today's show? Because I want to make sure your voices are heard.
I want to say this, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. Please, when somebody tells you that they're suicidal, please stop telling them they have kids, a husband, family members, a job, and they are beautiful, and naming all these things, saying you have so much to live for. Because in reality, it's not that we want to get away, and I'm saying we because I have tried before, and I do have struggles with suicidal ideation when things get to be too much for me. Don't saying that I have kids to live for is basically saying screw you and how you feel. You need to focus on how they feel, and then you also put my feelings to the side. That is not something that a person who is suicidal needs to hear. So I just wanted to add that in, because people have said that to me over the years, and it's very hurtful because they don't even follow up with, you know, comfort or anything about how I feel. And I'm not trying to make it all about me, but if a person is suicidal, they may be thinking that their life would be actually better off. I mean, the other people's around them lives would be better off if they were not here, because a lot of people feel guilt for the way that they are when it comes to not being able to live the life that they want to live or not performing the way they should. You know, people who are depressed, I have major depressive disorder and PTSD. You know, I'm not able to be the mother I want to be a lot. And so telling somebody like me who already feels guilt about not being the parent I would like to be, that I have kids to live for, that's even more depressing. That's actually putting more guilt on me. So I think that we should also find ways to comfort the person and face their trauma head on, or face whatever they're feeling head on, and not put things in their way to try to get them to focus on, because you're basically, that's like an insult to a person. So I just wanted to add that.
I appreciate you for adding that.
That
as well as go pray about it. Not saying that that ain't what you need, but that's also not the first thing somebody that is battling any type of mental health, especially when it comes to suicidal ideation, needs to hear. It's another way of disregarding how they're truly feeling internally, and it does not help the situation.
It certainly doesn't. Miss Rachel, did you want to chime in before we close out today's show? We have a few minutes left, and I'm going to share a few things with the ladies before we close out today.
I just wanted to chime in and say thank you. I do want to thank the host. I want to thank you for having the vision and for bringing this and birthing this opportunity. I want to thank everyone that's on the call today, and for sharing your story, for listening, for allowing us all to speak and to be free in this place, and I just want to tell us all that, you know, we are all black women. We are, you know, I want to say strong, but then, you know, I don't want to stay strong, but we are strong, you know. But I don't know, the sister just said something right now. I'm got to go into a deep meditation because I think she might have touched the point even with me with dealing with some things too. And so, like, really, that's really eye-opening. So I just want to say thank you to the young lady that just said that, because I even find myself sometimes addressing family. Now, and it's really weird because I don't address people on the outside of me like that. But when it comes to family, that's the first thing I'll probably say. You got children. So you've really opened my eyes, and I thank you very kindly for that. And I'd like to thank Miss Lula, Sister Lula, the elders. You know, I'm thankful for that because we do need the elders in to give the stories. And, I just want to say that as we all go through our healing journey, you know, just to know that every day is a step, you know. Sister LaWanda, your voice, I actually got to be healing through you. You have a very soft and tranquil and healing voice yourself. You need to be doing meditation.
That's so true, yep.
I'm just very thankful that and honored, Sister LaWanda, that you invited me in. And I'm here and glad to be a part of the family, you know, and I know that this is what we're going to do. We're going to continue to build this village, and we're going to continue to show each other how, what the things that it is that we need to do. So I do want to let the young lady that had asked for my information to know, I can tell you this right now, you've helped me, you've made me smile, you've given me more hope. You know, not that I didn't have it prior to, but you really made me. So, you know, I'm going to be working on something, and I'll be doing my first Instagram thing, I do believe, tomorrow. So, I'm working on just starting to be bringing the nutritional component through so that you can know how and the things that we need to stay away from when we're dealing with the anxiety and the depression, because those are things that had helped me after I went through my little episode, because once again, I never had that experience, but I had to leave out of Wisconsin to go to a whole other area, and then that's when I realized that I wasn't going through a state of depression. I was actually going through a state of transformation. And so what it did was it had to turn me into the person that I am again today.
I love it,
Wanda, and everyone. Sister Divine, I look forward to following you and hearing more. And I just look forward to continuing to build with everyone, as you know, for the future, and to help us all and to help the children, because that's what this is. We got to do something to get this. This future, Sister LaWanda said it. She said it. If we don't get them off of this the TV, you know, so it's going to take all of us to come in. And I'm just thankful, and I just want to continue to build with each and every one of you young ladies. We're all young, even you, Sister.
Oh, we
yep.
sure
so,
are.
And
we
sister,
young,
I'm getting your book too.
We all young in this. We still ready to learn. And that's a blessing. And I'm just so happy you were able to come on short notice, Miss Rachel. That just shows how dedicated you are to the mission of Black Sister Talk, as well as our listeners that participate every week and have been here consistently with the Black Sister Talk show. I appreciate each and every one of you guys, because I am you and you are me. And if I can't be supported by you, What am I doing? How am I supporting you? How are we supporting each other if we're not showing that and doing it with our actions? So, if anything, sister, you got a believer out of me, and you got someone who's going to be your biggest cheerleader. Somebody's going to say, hey, no, sister, this is what you got to do. Here, let me hook you up with this person. Let's link up and do this, because we have to be willing to do that for us first, and not expect anyone else to come into this community and show us how to get along as black women and respect one another. We have to do that. And we also have to understand a lot of this mental health, a lot of this mistrust, a lot of this abuse keeps us from being able to have open and honest relationships with each other. That's why we got to say I'm fine. But I'm here to say we all beautiful. I'm here to say I love each and every one of you. I'm here to say each one of our experiences make us unique make us divine and make us leaders in this community because we have a story that needs to be told. You know, I just value truly each and every one of you. Ms. Divine, I appreciate you for chiming in today and getting back on the air with us. I hope that this becomes more consistent for you because we need this. You know, in the next couple of months, ladies, we're going to have a Black Sister Talk retreat. We're starting up the book club at the end of the month. We're going to be reading our first book. I'm super, super, duper excited about it. We're going to be reading Untethered, Personal Journey to Freedom by Ms. Tina L. Yes. Payne. Put the info yes. where you can get the books and how you can join in. Don't trip. We got Treva's book coming up on the pipeline. And then eventually we're going to be sitting down and doing a writer's lab for the other ladies on the line who have trauma stories that they're ready to write or have already written. We're here to
elevate. Does that mean I can't read Miss Tina's book right now? Because it was next on my list?
No, that does not mean you can't read it next because we finna read it starting at the end of the... Miss, first of all, let me tell y'all. I'm calling Miss Tina back to make sure she is clear and free to come on the show at the end of the month. So, Miss Tina, if you out there listening, girl, I hope you smile and then putting that on your calendar, girlfriend, because I want you on the show at the end of the month for that reason alone. And then I need her in the group. So, ladies, we're going to start these healing groups up. We're going to start our book club. And we're going to do great things together as women, working together, loving on each other, building each other up. This is how it starts. This is what it looks like. This is us putting the work in, not only into ourselves, but into each other, because this mechanism doesn't thrive alone. So I love you all. I love you all. And most importantly, you are enough, and I want you to know to take care of yourself. You really got to take care of yourself. You really have to take care of yourself. The last thing I want to share with you guys, because we only got a few minutes left, next week, Miss Rachel will be back here with my cousin Danae. We will be talking about wrongful convictions. We will be learning more about the work Miss Rachel is doing in the community. She's going to lead us in that discussion, and I am so ready for it. So I hope you guys tune in next week. Same time, same phone number, different link. You're going to get the link. Different link, the same phone number. Come get into it. Lastly, I want you to engage with our social media platforms. Go ahead and on Instagram, Black Sister Talk. Go ahead on Facebook, Black Sister Talk. Go ahead and hit the like and the share button. I want everybody to share that page with at least 10 of their friends. We're also doing small business highlights for the whole month of February. So send us your brochure, send us your flyer, send us your link. This is free promotion. We want to celebrate Black businesses every day of February. Help us to help you get out there. We're going to tag you in the flyers and have your friends like the page too. We're trying to grow the Black sister community, and that comes with us doing the work together to support positive things that are actually helping this community to heal. Everybody should be hearing these conversations on the beginning. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys more. I will see you guys here next Saturday, same time, same place. Go off into your weeks and be great. Sisters, take care of yourselves.
I love
take
you
care
all.
Of
peace and blessings.
Absolutely.
But I'm stronger.